Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, May 27th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
The reopen rally continues. U.S. futures gain as officials relax lockdowns.
Unrest takes hold in Hong Kong. Police fire pepper spray as protests in the city gather steam.
And sanctions targeting China. The White House considers penalties tied to Beijing's crackdown on Hong Kong.
New York Governor Cuomo meets with President Trump today, plus New Jersey's governor says outdoor graduations will be allowed in July. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The NHL regular season is over. The Rangers and Islanders will be in the playoffs in July. Baseball made its economic proposal to the players.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by SEI. Crises and challenges highlight the power of partnership and character. Work for the common good, one community, SEI. Go to seic.com/banks.
U.S. futures are pointing to a third straight day of gains. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 28 points, Dow futures up 266, NASDAQ futures up 78. The DAX in Germany is up 1.25%, CAC in Paris up 1.5%, and the FTSE 100 up 1.2%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.7%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 0.68%, the yield on the 2-year 0.17%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.7% or 23 cents at $34.11 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.7% or $12.70 at $17.15.50 an ounce. The euro 1.0955 against the dollar, the yen 107.65. Nathan.
Hey, Karen, the gains in U.S. futures we're seeing this morning come as the push to reopen continues and U.S. coronavirus cases continue to slow. For the very latest, we're joined live by Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Nathan, good morning. Data show daily COVID-19 cases across the country rising at the slowest pace since March, just 1.1%. That's down from last week's 1.4% rate. In New York, hospitalizations and deaths reached the lowest level since the outbreak began. Meantime, the Trump administration is targeting an aggressive expansion of testing. It wants to hit 13 million tests this month. With 5 days left in May, it's currently 4.5 million short of that goal. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is turning his attention to reopening New York City.
We're going to turn the page on COVID-19, and we're going to start focusing on reopening and how we reopen and how smart we are in reopening.
As hospitalizations head lower, New York Mayor Bill de Blasio is targeting the first half of June to restart business in the city, and that includes extra safety measures.
We're thinking about all the pieces. How do people come back to work? What kind of precautions need to be in place? How do we monitor it? How do we inspect it? How do we make sure everyone's doing what they're supposed to be doing?
De Blasio says the city has hired 1,700 contact tracers. A phase one reopening will likely include construction, manufacturing, and curbside pickup for retailers.
In California, at least 47 counties have begun reopening. Even barbershops and salons in those regions are getting back to work as Governor Gavin Newsom sees infections holding steady. Here with details is Ed Baxter in our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Governor Newsom says stabilization in case numbers is the key.
Ultimately, we want to see them go down, but we are holding steady in that positivity rate, and that's encouraging news.
California has 58 counties, and the governor says individual guidelines and testing are on the state's website, but that on a regional basis, there is movement being made back into manufacturing and retail. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, and thank you. Across the Pacific, unrest is brewing again in Hong Kong. Police fired pepper spray downtown as protesters hit the street to oppose China's increased control over the city. We get more from Bloomberg's Karen Lee in Hong Kong.
This is a return to a lot of the unrest that we saw last summer, and police have arrested at least 16 people so far today. And for a lot of people here, we're using today to get an idea of how big the protest movement could get as it seems to be resurging. Are we going to see things like we saw last summer on that scale, or is it going to be smaller, more scattered? So we're really looking at today as a bit of an indicator.
And demonstrations are being organized against China's plan to impose broad national security measures in Hong Kong. Hundreds have gathered to demonstrate in the city's central shopping hub. There's been a heavy police presence, and that's dispersed protesters in other areas across the city.
The White House is watching those protests closely. Now sources tell us it's considering sanctions on China tied to the crackdown on Hong Kong. For the very latest on that front, we turn to Bloomberg's Saleha Mohsen in Washington.
The Treasury Department could impose controls on transactions and freeze assets of Chinese officials, businesses, and financial institutions for implementing the new national security law that is curtailing the rights and freedoms of Hong Kong citizens. So far, we know that the Trump administration is considering the range of sanctions. They have not come to any decision whether to do that yet.
Meantime, the House is set to pass a different set of legislation sanctioning Chinese officials for human rights abuses against Muslims. The measure passed the Senate with unanimous consent. It also has broad support in the House. That vote is set for today.
Meantime, President Trump is also taking aim at Twitter. For the first time, the social network added a fact-check label to the president's tweets after he made unsubstantiated claims about mail-in voting. Twitter added links reading, quote, "Get the facts about mail-in ballots." President Trump did not take the move lightly. He responded with a tweet saying, "Twitter is completely stifling free speech, and I, as president, will not allow it to happen."
Turning to Europe now, we get details today on plans to stem the economic fallout from the pandemic. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen is scheduled to release a recovery fund proposal just over 3 hours from now. Here with details is Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo in Brussels.
We know already that von der Leyen hinted at trillions of euros, not billions, and they're also we'll want to know the composition. Are we going to see grants? Are we going to see loans? And finally, if we do see the European Commission tap markets for maybe billions of euros, the market is going to want to know how is this going to be packaged? You know, how are these bonds going to hit the market?
France and Germany have been pushing for $500 million in aid. Austria, Denmark, Sweden, and the Netherlands have so far opposed the measure. S&P futures higher by 26 points. Dow futures up 255. NASDAQ futures a gain of 71. Points. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg. And at 5:07 on Wall Street, we bring in Michael Barr for a check of what else is going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo meets with President Trump today to discuss infrastructure. Cuomo outlined several infrastructure projects he'd like his state to tackle in partnership with the federal government.
There is no better time to build than right now. You need to restart the economy, you need to create jobs, and you need to renew and repair this country's economy and its infrastructure. Now is the time to do it.
The projects include a new Penn Station, a train link to LaGuardia Airport, rebuilding train tunnels under the Hudson, and expanding the Second Avenue subway. Long Island will officially start the first phase of reopening its economy today. It comes after a shutdown of non-essential businesses for more than 2 months due to the coronavirus pandemic. New York City is seeking authority to borrow possibly as much as $7 billion if necessary to make up for the revenue loss because of the pandemic. It calls for the city's Transitional Finance Authority to issue debt to make up for the projected loss through mid-2021. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says he will unveil a plan today that will allow outdoor in-person graduations this summer with limits.
To the class of 2020, I am proud to say that you will have your opportunity to join with your classmates and families to celebrate your graduation.
Murphy says it will begin July 6th. A judge who suggested that a woman seeking a restraining order could close her legs to prevent a sexual assault was removed from the bench by the New Jersey Supreme Court. State Superior Court Judge John Russo was also permanently barred from presiding over a courtroom. Joe Biden says President Trump is a fool who is stoking deaths for suggesting that wearing a mask in public to combat the spread of COVID-19 is anything other than a sign of leadership. The presumptive Democratic presidential nominee also talked about President Trump attacking former President Barack Obama.
I was talking to a friend of mine today, a leader in the African-American community, and I said, why is he going after Barack? He said, because it stirs up his base. Barack's a black man. I don't know what that's the reason, but all of a sudden, Barack, most popular guy out there, and he's attacking Barack. What's that all about?
Biden
spoke to CNN. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashar.
Good morning, Nathan. The NHL regular season is now officially over. Let the Stanley Cup playoffs begin. Commissioner Gary Bettman says it's what everyone wants.
The fans are telling us in overwhelming numbers that they want us to complete the season, if at all possible. And our players and our teams are clear that they want to play and bring the season to its rightful conclusion.
Bettman announced a 2014 playoff field. The Rangers and Islanders will be part of it, not the Devils. Rangers, who would not have made it if they hadn't expanded the field, will face Carolina in the first round. Not known yet if that'll be a best of five or seven. The Islanders will face Florida, a couple of teams who were slumping back when there was still hockey. Where the games will be played, not yet known. There will be two hub cities, one for each conference. Vegas seen as the heavy favorite to land the West games, not known about the East. Training camp will begin no later than July 1st, so expect games sometime mid to late July, pending they get final clearance that this can be done safely. As for baseball, the reaction by the union to the economic proposal made to them by the owners, not good. One player using the word disgusting. The Mets' Marcus Stroman said this season doesn't look promising. Owners proposing a sliding scale where the higher-paid players will see their salaries cut the most. It could lead to division among players. Two sides need to get this done if they're going to be able to play ball. The Jets just got Joe Flacco to be their backup quarterback, but he says, coming off surgery, he won't be ready to play in week one. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
And, John, another MLB team is cutting jobs due to the pandemic. The Oakland A's are placing scouts and other front office employees on furlough and suspending pay for minor leaguers and cutting salaries for executives. The A's will continue to pay health care, 401k, and pension costs for employees. S&P futures higher by 27 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's just before 5:12 on Wall Street. Tune in later this morning for an exclusive interview with John Williams. The New York Fed president sits down with Bloomberg Radio and Television at 9:30 a.m. Wall Street time today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks advancing in Europe along with U.S. stock index futures as investors look past simmering tensions between Washington and Beijing and focus on progress in relaxing lockdowns. Oil is slipping, treasuries and the dollar edging higher. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 29 points, Dow futures up 285, NASDAQ futures up 74. The DAX in Germany is up 1.5%. 10-year treasury up 2/32nd, yield 0.69%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.17%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.8% or 28 cents at $34.07 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.8% or $13.30 at $17.1490 an ounce. The euro, 1.0949 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2287. And the yen is at 107.68. And the S&P 500 is up 34% from its March 23rd lows. Today, the Federal Reserve releases its beige book at 2 o'clock Wall Street time. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. U.S. coronavirus cases continue to slow. Bloomberg's John Tucker in New York has more in this live report.
And Michael, coronavirus cases in the U.S. increased 1.1% as compared to the same time yesterday. That's the slowest daily increase since March. Deaths in the U.S. now stand at over 98,000. New York saw its fewest new hospitalizations and fatalities since the outbreak began. There were 73 deaths. That's down from a high last month of nearly 800. And the Trump administration has released coronavirus testing targets for May, an aggressive expansion that would have some states doubling and quadrupling the number they had done through late April. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, John. President Donald Trump plans to travel to Florida to watch today's launch of SpaceX's manned test mission to the International Space Station. The launch will mark the first time NASA astronauts have blasted off from U.S. soil since the end of the space shuttle program in 2011. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. We're coming up to 5:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and Matt Maley's with us now, Chief Market Strategist at Miller Tabak. Well, it seems like it's all systems go for a rally on Wall Street with optimism over economies reopening. Do you see that fueling a breakout of the range that equities have been in the last few weeks, Matt?
Well, I mean, we'll have to see. I mean, yesterday we saw that break of the 3,000 level on the S&P and the 200-day moving average that everybody has been talking about. And, of course, by the end of the day, it came back down. And so if we get another one of those today, the futures are looking like they're going to break it again. If we come back down, that failure might cause the market to pull back a little bit. And the reason why I highlight that, at least over the near term, is this whole thing with what's going on in Hong Kong. That's it's not going to get any better, doesn't seem to me anyway, anytime soon. And, you know, it probably gives the market a good excuse to take a breather over the near term, especially since, you know, we have so much uncertainty surrounding any kind of vaccine or you know, how quickly the economy is going to bounce back.
Yeah, a couple of uncertainties there between the vaccine and China tensions. You say you don't see that getting any better anytime soon. What makes you say that?
Well, I mean, it just seems to me fairly obvious that China definitely wants to crack down and take full control of Hong Kong. They stepped away late last year and early this year. Now they're coming back in. They're, you know, I hate to say it, but they're using this coronavirus, this healthcare, a global healthcare issue, to hopefully deflect attention while they're doing it. But it became obvious yesterday by what Congress did, we're not going to sit idly by and watch that take place. So as the tensions grow with China, I think that eventually is going to have an impact on the stock market.
But it does seem as though the markets, other than, you know, late yesterday, weren't giving it much attention in terms of the tensions with China. What do you think is going to bring that to the fore for markets?
Well, we'll just we'll have to see what happens as the tensions rise. But it's hard to know exactly what will happen because we saw the same thing with the coronavirus back in January and in first half of February, where we completely ignored what was going on with the coronavirus and possible shutdown the economy. And then all of a sudden, you know, it didn't matter until it did. And so all of a sudden it did. So it's hard to pinpoint an exact catalyst. And again, I'm not saying that this Hong Kong situation will create a 30% decline in the market, but it certainly could cause a pullback, especially given how far we've rallied over a very short period of time.
Despite all these headwinds, Matt, we did hear from Jamie Dimon yesterday saying he sees fairly good odds that we could have a fast recovery in the third quarter. Is that something you're looking at as well?
Well, you know, it's funny. There's two things that I'm watching very closely that are interesting. And on the one hand, I really like them. And there's one thing that concerns me. But number one is the housing stocks. We saw the new home sales yesterday came in much. You know, they were almost flat, but much better than expected. And you know, we sort of read on Bloomberg about what's going on in New York with all the young families moving out of the city and bringing their families out of the city. We're anecdotally definitely seeing that here in Boston as well. Mm-hmm. So if the housing sector, which is incredibly important to the economy, holds up well, that's going to be positive. The other thing I'd note, which is kind of interesting, is that the Dow Jones Wilshire Trucking Index, okay, a sub-index of the transportation index, hit a new all-time high yesterday. Can you believe that? I mean, the one thing that concerns me is that is our economy really going to bounce back that fast that we're getting new all-time highs for the truckers? Mm-hmm. So I think I'm a little worried that that's getting ahead of itself. But at the same time, we have two economically sensitive indexes that are acting very, very well. So even though I've been very cautious about the economy, it's something that we have to watch because it could break out. The one thing I'd feel a little bit better about the whole thing, though, is if Jamie Dimon announced he was buying back some of his J.P. Morgan stock that, like he did in 2016, that kind of confirmed his real stance on things.
So in our last 30 seconds here, where do you see equities going into the second half?
Well, I think right now on a near-term basis, the market's getting ahead of itself. You know, we break above 3,000, that gives us good momentum. But I just think that the unemployment rate is going to settle at a level, even though it's going to be much lower than where it is right now. It's going to still be, you know, around 10%. I think it's hard for the economy to grow to a degree that will help the stock market rally a lot more than it already has. So I think we look for a little bit of pullback right now.
Always good getting your take, Matt. Good talking with you this morning. Matt Maley, Chief Market Strategist at Miller Tabak. And looking at the futures contracts this morning, the rally continues. S&P futures up 33 points. Dow futures up 325. NASDAQ futures up 80 points. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. Bringing us now to 525 on Wall Street. Just ahead, we'll have more on the slowing infection rate we're seeing in COVID-19, plus a fuller check of the markets and all the latest business news headlines as Bloomberg Daybreak continues.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moskow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are gaining as lockdown measures ease across the country and coronavirus cases continue to slow. For the latest, we're joined live by Bloomberg's John Tucker. John, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Data show daily COVID-19 cases rising at the slowest pace since March, just 1.1%. Compare that to the 1.4% rate from the prior week. In New York State, hospitalizations and deaths reached the lowest level since the outbreak began. In New York City, Mayor Bill de Blasio is targeting the first half of June to restart business. Long Island is set to open today. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. Let's turn to Hong Kong now, where unrest is brewing again today. Police fired pepper spray downtown as demonstrators hit the streets to oppose China's increased control over the city. Hundreds gathered in the city's central shopping hub. Though there has been a heavy police presence, that's dispersed demonstrators in other areas across the city.
The White House is watching those protests closely. Now sources tell us it's considering sanctions on China tied to the crackdown. Bloomberg's Karen Lee has details from Hong Kong.
The Treasury Department could impose controls on transactions and freeze the assets of some Chinese officials and businesses because they implemented a new national security law here in Hong Kong that could curtail the rights and freedoms of Hong Kong citizens. We're also reporting that other measures under consideration by the Trump administration include visa restrictions for Communist Party officials.
Meantime, the House is set to pass a different set of legislation sanctioning Chinese officials for human rights abuse against Muslims. The measure passed the Senate with unanimous consent and also has broad support in the House. That vote is set for today.
Meantime, President Trump is also targeting Twitter. For the first time, the social network added a fact-check label to the president's tweets after he made unsubstantiated claims about mail-in voting. Twitter added links reading, quote, "Get the facts about mail-in ballots." President Trump didn't take that move lightly. He responded on Twitter saying, quote, "Twitter is completely stifling free speech and I, as president, will not allow it to happen."
And in Europe, we have plans to stem the economic fallout from the pandemic. The European Commission is out with a proposal to issue 500 billion euros in joint debt. It's part of an EU virus recovery fund totaling 750 billion euros to aid nations in the euro area. Futures this morning, again, on the rise, up 36 points. Dow futures up 349, and NASDAQ futures are up 83. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 0.69%, and NYMEX crude oil is down 0.7%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Okay, Karen, thanks. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says he will travel to Washington to meet with President Donald Trump and plan to discuss major investments in infrastructure as a way to jumpstart a U.S. economy devastated by the coronavirus pandemic. During the briefing, Cuomo explained his plan for LaGuardia Airport.
Accelerating LaGuardia Airport, which is going to be the first new airport in this nation in 25 years. Traffic is low, passenger volume is lower. Let's accelerate that construction now.
Cuomo also says he will talk with the president about renovation and expansion of Penn Station in New York City. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says his state is ready to figure out how outdoor graduation ceremonies could happen over the summer. Murphy says more guidance will be released today.
To allow for outdoor graduation ceremonies to celebrate our students' accomplishments starting July 6th. This guidance will include social distancing requirements and other necessary health and safety measures.
COVID-19 cases in New Jersey have been on a downward trend, although the state hasn't seen 14 days of consecutive downward numbers for all COVID-19 metrics. Monday's video of an altercation between a white female executive and a black man in Central Park went viral almost immediately. Now the woman, Amy Cooper, was fired from her job at Franklin Templeton. Cooper is seen calling New York police on her mobile phone saying there is an African-American man threatening her in Central Park.
Please don't come close to me.
Please take your phone off.
Please don't come close to me.
And I'm taking pictures calling the cops.
Please call the cops. Please call the cops.
I'm going to tell them there's an African-American man threatening my life.
Please tell them whatever you like.
The man, Christian Cooper, had earlier asked her to leash her dog in the wooded area of the park, which is required. She later told the news station that she is sorry for what happened. Protests were held in Minneapolis after an unarmed black man died following his arrest. George Floyd was pinned to the ground by a police officer who had his knee on Floyd's neck. Four police officers have been fired. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It's 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, after a couple of months of speculation, we finally heard from a commissioner with a definite plan for resuming the season. Gary Bettman says the NHL will not have any more regular season games. There'll be a 2014 playoff starting sometime in July at two hub cities, which two he was not yet ready to say. Vegas is seen as a favorite to land at least the West games. The top four teams in each conference will play round-robin games to determine top four seeding. The other eight will face off in either a best of five or seven. The Rangers will play the Carolina Hurricanes. The Islanders will take on the Florida Panthers. The Devils, one of seven teams not in the playoffs. They'll be in the draft lottery. But Bettman warns none of this is his top priority.
I want to make clear that the health and safety of our players, coaches, essential support staff in our communities are paramount. While nothing is without risk, ensuring health and safety has been central to all of our planning so far and will remain so.
NHL says it is still hopeful next season we'll have the full 82 games. Baseball's pitch to the union regarding the economics of a return featured by a sliding scale of reduced salaries where the highest paid players would see their pay cut the most. Yankee ace Gerrit Cole just signed for $36 million a year. He'd make roughly $8 million. There are 12 who make $30 million or more, but most make less than $1 million. Early reaction from players on this proposal, not positive. Ryder Cup still on for late September in Wisconsin. Rory McIlroy says it should be put off until 2021. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New York City is seeking authority to borrow possibly as much as $7 billion if needed to make up for the revenue lost because of the coronavirus pandemic. The city's Office of Management and Budget estimates New York will lose at least $7.4 billion in revenue through June of 2021. Secaucus-based Quest Diagnostics is offering services to big employers geared at getting their workers back to the job safely. That includes testing for the coronavirus, analytics to monitor symptoms and hotspots, and services like temperature monitoring. A New York Times Siena College Research Institute poll found that theatergoers who are hesitant to return worry that the people around them won't be following the rules. The biggest concern among those who are worried about going to the theater, people who might show up without masks or ignore social distancing. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
All right, Ed, thanks. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Slimmer hogs are the latest sign that meat shortages are easing.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about Tesla cutting the prices of some of its cars to boost demand.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the growing number of conservative MPs calling for Boris Johnson's main advisor to be sacked.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on WIOD in Miami, I'm reporting Walt Disney and SeaWorld are set to present plans for reopening their Florida theme parks.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting General Motors is recalling third shift workers at its Spring Hill, Tennessee assembly plant.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Here are a few more. Christine Lagarde says the euro area economy is facing a contraction in line with the bank's more pessimistic forecasts. The European Central Bank president says output in the eurozone is likely to shrink between 8 to 12%. Boeing will unveil job cuts to its Seattle area engineering ranks this week. Layoff notices will go out Friday. Union officials say about 1,300 of their 18,000 members were accepted for buyouts. Boeing warned last month it would need to cut about 10% of its workforce. And finally, Bloomberg News has learned Amazon is in talks to buy the driverless vehicle startup Zoox. A deal would accelerate Amazon's automation efforts, and we're told the price is unlikely to be less than the $1 billion Zoox has already raised. It's coming up to 5:40 on Wall Street now, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is online with the cover on President Trump's political gamble to reopen the economy. Terminal customers can receive a complimentary subscription at MAG Go. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly right here on Bloomberg Radio, or watch it on YouTube weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. Wall Street time. Get global business, finance, and tech news on your TV, computer, or mobile device. Just visit YouTube.com and search Bloomberg Global News. And a reminder to tune in later this morning for an interview with New York Fed President John Williams. He sits down with Bloomberg Surveillance at 9:30 a.m. Wall Street time. You can listen to it on Bloomberg Radio and watch it on Bloomberg Television. This is Bloomberg. And it's now just before 5:41 on Wall Street. Just ahead, we'll get the latest from Hong Kong as protests break out over China's new crackdown. Bloomberg's Rishad Salamat joins us from Hong Kong next. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks and U.S. stock index futures are extending their advance as investors look past fresh tension between Washington and Beijing and focus on progress in relaxing lockdowns and reopening economies. Crude oil is slipping. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 37 points this morning. Dow futures up 352. NASDAQ futures up 90. The DAX in Germany is up 1.6%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 0.69%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.17%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.6% or 19 cents at $34.16 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.6% or $11.10 at $17.17.10 an ounce. The euro 1.1005 against the dollar. British pound 1.2329, and the yen is at 107.66. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. President Donald Trump plans to travel to Florida today to watch the launch of SpaceX's manned test mission to the International Space Station. The launch will mark the first time NASA astronauts have blasted off from U.S. soil since the end of the space shuttle program in 2011. NASA says astronauts Doug Hurley and Bob Behnken are scheduled to arrive at the space station on May 28th. Republicans in the House mounted a legal challenge to a proxy voting procedure Democrats pushed through this month for colleagues who are in quarantine or otherwise housebound during the coronavirus pandemic. The first proxy votes are set to be cast this week when the House considers several pieces of legislation, including modifications to a popular loan program for small businesses and an extension of the federal government surveillance authority. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. 5:49 on Wall Street. We're live for the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. Hong Kong is returning to unrest, largely unseen since last year. The protests are opposition to China's increasing control over the city. It's also the backdrop for increasing tensions between the U.S. and China. And joining us now from Hong Kong, Bloomberg's Rashad Salamat. Rish, thanks for being with us. Appreciate it. Pro-democracy advocates called for this strike today, the general strike. What sort of turnout has there been?
John, there were hundreds rather than thousands. And at the moment, last time I just saw about an hour ago, just a few small groups of protesters remaining on the streets of the territory. Officers earlier firing pepper spray, projectiles, and arresting nearly 300 people, about 290, in fact, and as you said, in a return to unrest largely seen before. We knew this was coming. This general strike was called by student groups and trade unions. So they'd call for protests to oppose this China-backed national security legislation, which would mean that people could be arrested in the territory for any crimes involved with sedition, secession, and have some vague items as well, and that's the point. It is quite vague what may well be in this law finally. Now, of course, we knew it was going to come today. It is the chief executive, Carrie Lam's birthday, and those bodies had called out to celebrate the occasion and celebrate it with pro-democracy rallies. They were doing that, certainly, but celebrate may not be the word quite here. We've just seen this unrest. We haven't seen this since last year, really, and part of that, of course, has been down to the COVID-19 lockdown, people calling for the end of Chinese rule over the city, and they want independence. That's certainly something that the Chinese would never countenance. The new legislation, according to them, would be the end of Hong Kong as we know it, and at the minimum, the end of one country, two systems. And that's essentially what they have been really at the moment calling, saying that this legislation is about. Carrie Lam has been at pains to defend the security measures. Some don't believe her, some do. She said it was untrue that the new measures would ban street protests and places Hong Kong's freedoms would be preserved. Even Hong Kong's richest tycoon, Li Ka-shing, defended the Beijing-backed law. Previously, he'd been seen as wavering on the issue and now says that perhaps we need not overinterpret it and that perhaps it is within each and every nation's sovereign right to address its national security concerns here. John?
Yeah, with Li Ka-shing and Carrie Lam defending the new law, what kind of an impact has that had? Has that reduced the number of people who've shown up on the streets as well?
Perhaps. But we also know that the U.S. U.S.-China relations are fraught by this. We also know that people haven't turned up on the streets perhaps in so many numbers as they have done in the past because of the sheer volume of the number of police officers on the streets themselves. Now, I just want to get to the U.S. because the geopolitical side of the things here, John, because the U.S. is considering a range of sanctions to punish China for this crackdown. People we've been talking to who don't want to be named say that top of the agenda is the Trump administration weighing up whether or not to declare the former colony as someplace which has lost its autonomy from Beijing. The debate in Washington seems to be about a narrow approach that is sanctioning individuals or businesses involved who've been curtailing Hong Kong's autonomy. The states could, of course, react and enact the Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act. It requires the Secretary of State to certify whether Hong Kong continues to warrant special treatment. Now, if employed, the act could simply render treatment of Hong Kong as just the same as any other Chinese city here as well, John. So perhaps it's not a huge leap in imagination with the way these two sides are going at each other that the foreign minister commented over the weekend suggesting that the U.S. is pushing the relations to a new Cold War. Perhaps that is getting a ring of truth at the moment. That's at least some of the reaction.
All right, Rish, thanks very much. We appreciate it. Bloomberg's Rashad Salamat joining us from Hong Kong. China also warning that it would retaliate if the U.S. put sanctions on the country or interfered in its affairs. Thanks very much, Rashad. Karen, back to you.
All right, John, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The Internal Revenue Service has issued its highly anticipated final rules easing reporting requirements for nonprofits. Two female athletes at Idaho State University want to help defend Idaho's Fairness in Women's Sports Act, a
against charges that the statute unconstitutionally discriminates against transgender women. The 11th Circuit reinstated a purported class action over the way Genworth Life and Annuity calculates life insurance rates.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now another legal story we're watching. Bayer, known as Bayer in the U.S., reaching verbal agreements to resolve thousands of cancer lawsuits over its Roundup weed killer. That's according to a source who tells us that the settlements are part of a $10 billion plan. For more on the possible deal, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Eric Gordon, a professor at the Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan.
So Bayer has set aside reportedly $10 billion for this altogether, $8 billion for these current cases and $2 billion for future. With all these ifs and cases outstanding and lawyers not settling, is it possible that Bayer won't be able to come in at that number?
It is possible. It's possible that the number won't make sense to both sides. It's possible that when you split $8 billion or $10 billion, amongst all of the cases, that there are too many cases that will get too little money to get those people to agree to a settlement. And then they would say, well, Bayer, you've got to put in more money. And Bayer could say, all right, we'll put in another $1 billion or another $2 billion. And they could say, never mind, because for another $1 billion, we can litigate every one of these cases forever. So the $8 billion or the $10 billion may not be firm, but it's a clear signal of the range. It's a clear signal to plaintiffs, when this gets split up, don't be expecting $20 billion.
Now, why settle if you're going to keep Roundup on the market? It's going to continue to be sold without safety warnings.
That is the weirdest part of the settlement story. On the plaintiff's side, if you're really worried about people getting cancer, and you really believe that Roundup causes the cancer, why would you agree to a settlement along the lines of, yep, keep selling it without the warning? Our complaint is that it's unsafe. Our complaint is that you failed to warn people. But as long as you pay us, we're okay with you continuing to do that. From the buyer side, it seems like, well, if they exercise that right and keep selling it without a warning, seems as if they're asking for another whole batch of new cases from people making the same claims. So that part of the rumored settlement thing is a real head scratcher from both points of view.
And that's University of Michigan law professor Eric Gordon speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Futures this morning are on the rise, with S&P futures up about 40 points, Dow futures up 378, NASDAQ futures up 98, the DAX in Germany is up 1.9%. 10-year Treasury, little change, the yield 0.69%, the yield on the 2-year 0.17%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.4% or 16 cents at $34.20 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.7% on $11.50 at $17.1670 an ounce. The euro 1.1013 against the dollar, the British pound 1.2332, and the yen 107.70. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.